Appreciate when people sing before the sermon and they preach the whole sermon in the song. It saves me a lot of time. I'm not sure how long I will be tonight. I tried to make it a little shorter. I know it would be a big day, and many people have been working all day and tired, and then we had the apocalypse tonight, so we'll try to get us out. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. So I want to talk about heaven tonight. I want to be an encouragement, as these verses are, as the pastor said, it's a passage of encouragement. Those next three chapters, John 14, before Christ goes, he talks to his disciples, and before he goes to the cross, and he's saying goodbye for now, see you later, to his disciples, and he has to explain a few things to them, and he starts out by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." And again, tonight, I wasn't planning on there being a storm, but there are always things in life that will trouble you. Chantel's very scared of thunderstorms, tornadoes, any kind of acts of God in the weather, and they frighten her very much. But all of us have things that trouble us, and Jesus knew. The chapter before, it was when he was talking to Simon Peter about when he was going to be crucified, and he said, "Peter, you're going to reject me," and there was a heavy conversation they were having. And Jesus already knew. He could tell by looking at their faces that they were troubled. And he knew, because he's God, he knew that they were troubled. And so the first thing he said was, "Let not your heart be troubled." They might have been distressed at what Jesus had said to them, the fact that he was going to leave them. It might have been on their face. It might have been the words that they used, or the tone of voice, or the hushed ways that they talked to each other. But Jesus knew, and you could see that they were troubled. And Jesus gives them his words. And if you think about it, all that we have to give to one another, whether it be promises from the Word of God or words of encouragement, it's our word, or a promise. It's our word that we give. And Jesus gave his words to his disciples to remind them of the promise of heaven. Beautiful, tender words, rich, full of worth and value. Speaking of eternity, the eternal comfort that is our faith. And when Christ brings that to bear, when he tells the disciples, he tells them there the beautiful truth of the gospel, that what he was going to do, the gospel, the prequel, before he did it, what he was going to do, what God had already planned from the foundation of the world. But Jesus said, "This, I'm about to go fulfill the gospel. I'm about to go make it possible for you to have a home in heaven." There might have been uneasiness, heaviness about the unknown, anxiety over what would happen to them, what would happen to their friend. What would happen to Jesus? It might have been a surprise. They might have not known they were about to say goodbye or farewell to their friend and their master. And they might have had a lot of loose ends. The Bible talks about Mary and Martha, and the Bible says that Martha was troubled over many things. And maybe the apostles, the disciples in that room, might have started to make a checklist in their mind and thought, "Well, I thought before this happened, I thought we'd take care of this and this and this and this." And they thought of all those loose ends or problems that they thought would be solved and that were not solved yet, or they hadn't seen the solution. Like we talked about this morning, the gospel was given. We didn't see an immediate response to that. And the disciples might think, "Well, Jesus has come. He's had his ministry, and I haven't seen the full result of that." And they might have had loose ends that they were worried about. They were troubled. Jesus said, "Don't be troubled," because he knew they were. It was a heavy conversation and probably not one that they wanted to have. And you've probably had some of these conversations either with your kids or with your loved ones. You'd rather not have the conversation. But Jesus said, "Hey, there's some things we got to talk about. Some things are going to happen, and we need to be prepared. We need to talk about them. And I need to tell you, and I want to warn you, don't let your heart be troubled." They might have thought whatever plans they had were going to die with their friend, and they might have been distraught. And they didn't, if you read through, they didn't yet hear, and they obviously didn't yet understand that Messiah had to come, he had to die, and he had to suffer, and he had to die. And that was still something that was beyond their understanding. Next phrase he said is, "Ye believe in God." Jesus, the Savior, told them that their comfort was going to be found in their confidence in God and their confidence in Jesus. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me." And he was pointing to the fact that he and the Father had this union. They were one. In John 10, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Jesus said, you believe in God, you have confidence in God, you rely upon God, you lean on Him for support, for comfort, for consolation. You do that with God, believe in me, believe also in me. In the next verse, John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. The Father's house, heaven. It's a defined, real place. It's already settled. It's got a solid foundation. And Jesus talks about it because he has intimate knowledge of it. He's telling them about a place that he understands, that he knows. And he just said, don't be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. And John writes about it again in the book of Revelation. It says in Revelation 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And again, Jesus was talking about a real place. He was talking about the Father's house. And the way he said it, almost matter-of-factly, like, don't be worried, guys. Don't be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, just calm down. Look again at verse 2. Many mansions. That word many. There is space. There's space, there's room available in the Father's house. In that real place, there is a place for any and all who believe. The Bible says in 2 Peter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And again, there's many mansions in his Father's house. Again, look at verse 2. If it were not so, I would have told you. And this, to me, is one of my favorite phrases in the whole Bible, because Jesus is the truth. And Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I don't know about you, there's lots of people in life that you either know or you kind of think they tell you what you want to hear. But Jesus was not that way. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus said, I'm not going to tickle your ears. I'm not making stuff up. I'm telling you the truth. He told the truth to the woman at the well when she came for water. He told her how to never thirst again, how to have salvation. And when she said about, when he talked to her about her husband, he knew the truth about her, and he told her the truth. He told the truth to the money changers in the temple. He told the truth to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, he told the truth to the rich young ruler. He told the truth to the maniac of Gadara when he cast out the demons. And I think he was even honest to those pigs. When the devils went out and went into the pigs, Jesus was honest with everyone he came in contact with. He told them the truth. The woman caught in adultery, he told her the truth. And he told the truth to all the accusers there. And he was without sin, cast the first stone. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't polish up his words and try to say something to be politically correct or to make people feel good and warm and fuzzy inside. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He is the truth. He said, guys, listen to me. I'm not messing around. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm not leading you as a lamb to the slaughter. I'm not trying to just tell you something you want to hear. I'm comforting you with the truth. The best comfort is the truth. And that's what Jesus did. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I read the whole Bible that way. I say, if it were not so, he would have told me. This is the truth. This is the word of God. If it were not so, he would have told me. And Jesus said that to his disciples. I go to prepare a place for you. Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said, I'm going there. I'm going pretty soon, right now, on your terms, in the next few hours. I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And Jesus said, if I don't go, I can't come back. This is something that I tell my kids all the time when I want to leave a place, especially if it's a place that they love. And if they want to come back, I say, we have to go or we can't come back. And Jesus was the same way. If I don't go, I can't come back. If I don't go, I can't prepare that place for you. So don't be troubled. I'm leaving so I can come back. And Jesus, the friend of the disciples, our friend that sticks closer than a brother, he said, I'm going to go prepare your place for you. And that's a one-of-a-kind place. That's a place designed by somebody that knows you. A place designed by somebody that loves you and wants the best for you. And Jesus said, I got to go so I can prepare your place so I can come back. The ones that knew him best, the ones that he knew best. He said, I'm your friend. I know you like nobody else knows you. And I want to make sure that your mansion, that your place in my Father's house is prepared for you. I go there to prepare that place. We will meet again. God's Son, Jesus said, he will receive us unto himself. And that fellowship, the word fellowship that we talked about this morning, that God wants with us, that we talked about, and he desires to be with us. And Jesus was trying to express that to the disciples. He said, I'm going so I can prepare something for you. He left so he could prepare a place in heaven for us, so he could come back and get us. In my Father's house, inside, included, protected, part of the team, not on the outside. I was blessed to be able to be in church this morning. We didn't have junior church this morning. I got to sit with the family of God in church. Usually we're running all over the place, but we all got family day. We all got to be together in church. And I love that feeling of being a part of something, saying, this is my team, this is my family, this is my church. And especially just the last few years, as my family has grown, as my love for not just dad, but for pastor has grown, I love being a part of that. And so much more in the Father's house when we get to heaven. In my Father's house, included in that place, protected, not outside, not with the doubt and the depression of the world, not under the power or the control of the devil, not headed for punishment in hell, but in my Father's house. My Father's house, the creator of all that is, our Heavenly Father, our Father, our Heavenly Father, where he lives, where he desires for us to be in fellowship with him, in partnership, communicating with him. In my Father's house, there's no more want, no more hunger, no more thirst, no more headaches, and no more heartaches. And I know we have all of that here on this earth. There's no more night. There's no more pain. It will be the last and the best reunion. The last time you'll never have to say, see you later again. The reunion with loved ones. You have loved ones there. I have loved ones there. I know there's lots of a few teenagers here tonight. When I was a teenager, people would talk about the rapture. They talk about, you know, getting old and going to heaven. And I'd say, not yet. I want to get married. You know, I want to have my own life. I want my own freedom. But now, you know, everybody jokes and say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But you know, now you want Jesus to come back. But that feeling of you want your life here, but the promise of heaven. And again, I knew it then, and I know it more now. The promise of heaven is so much better than anything we could have on earth. No more night, no more pain. No more saying goodbye to loved ones. No more saying see you later. No more strife in the world, in your own life, on the news, wherever. But no more strife, no more settling of scores, no more awkward silences. And this is one that I have a lot, where you just don't know what to say. No more silence and no more angry outbursts. No more revenge. No more trying to get even. The trash of sin and regret will be removed. We will be changed. We will be made new. Again, in Revelation, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son in my Father's house. And I just got, now I'm down to my number one, number two, number three. Number one, in my Father's house, Jesus is already there. He's already preparing. Are you prepared? In Hebrews, it said, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And like I said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There will come a day, either through death or the rapture, there will come a day when this life is over. And are you prepared? If you're not, you need to be. Have you recognized your sin? Whether it be great or whether it be small in your eyes, have you recognized the sin that separates you from a holy God? And have you recognized Jesus the Savior that already paid the penalty, already made a way, already provided the way of salvation? Have you prepared the way that Jesus is preparing for those that believe? Have you prepared to meet him? We can show you from the Bible tonight. We've told you several times today, but we can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure from God's word that heaven is your home, not because of your works, but because of the work that Jesus already did when he died, shed his blood, and rose again. Number two, Jesus reminded the disciples where their confidence should rest. He said, "Ye believe in God, you rest on God, you lean on God, believe also in me." And tonight, for myself and for each of you, where is your faith resting? You know, hopefully, if you have electricity, that's a good thing, but you might not always have electricity. If you have signs that aren't blown over and trees that aren't blown over, that's a good thing, but don't rest your faith on that because it could change. Where do you put your faith and your hope? Where is your confidence tonight? Jesus said, "Believe in God, believe also in me. I and my Father are one." What hope do you evidence to others? I'm not troubled, I'm trusting. I'm not confused or troubled by many things. I'm content until I get to heaven. I'm not lonely. I'm leaning on Jesus. I'm secure in my Savior. Remember, Jesus said, "Where is your confidence? Believe in God, believe also in me." And then number three, my favorite phrase in this whole passage, Jesus was sincere and honest with those that he loved. He didn't tell them what they wanted to hear all the time. He told them the truth. "If it were not so, I would have told you." Have I sincerely told the ones that I love about the truth of heaven? Have I told them the truth about what God has done for me in my life? God's not willing that any should perish. And that means that we should be willing to tell anyone and everyone, because God has made room in his Father's house for any and all that will receive him. So again, number one, Jesus is already preparing. Are you prepared? Two, where is your faith? Where is your confidence? On what are you resting? We all rest on something. Some of us are in for a rude awakening, and some of us are trusting in the only thing that never fails, and that's Jesus. And then number three, Jesus told the truth to those that he loved. Who do you tell the truth to? Who do you love? And have you told any and all that are willing to listen about the faith that you have in Jesus? Again, I want to be an encouragement to you. Just think about heaven tonight. Think about the promise of heaven, and think about somebody that you have not yet told. And when Jesus told his disciples, he said, "If it were not true, I would have told you." So what truth can you share from God's word tonight? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for today. Thank you for each song that was sung, for the message we heard this morning as a church, for the fellowship that you desire to have with us. And thank you so much for the work that you've already done. Thank you, Jesus, for preparing a place for us as an individual. Thank you for telling us the truth, even when we don't might not want to hear it, even when it's not what we want to hear. But thank you for always telling us and being honest. Help us to treat our loved ones the same way. Help us to follow your example. And again, Lord, help us to put our confidence in you each and every day. No matter what happens, help us to trust you. Help us to trust you for salvation, and then trust you as we live our life here on earth until you decide to come, until you decide to take us home to your Father's house. Thank you so much for the promise of heaven. Thank you for this church. Bless us during this time of invitation. If there's someone here not sure of heaven, there's someone here that needs to tell the truth to someone they love, I pray, Lord, that you'd calm some heartaches and some headaches tonight and help us to be honest with one another. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.